You don't see our papa here, but like I tell you, every time I get up here to introduce someone, our papa always leaves someone to fill this pulpit that's going to bring the word. This pulpit is not something just somebody to come up here and get behind, and he don't think about who he's sending. Now, I wanted you to stand because I want you to give a hand to this brother. He might not have no energy. He might not give you this. He might not be just so passionate about what he's saying, but I want y'all to give him a hand anyway as he comes to the stage to give us the word for the day from the Lord. Y'all go ahead and give Pastor Ben James a hand as he comes to the stage.
And Liz. Liz is coming.
And Liz is going to come and help him too. So where you at, Liz? There you go.
Liz is going to come correct me. So as I get it wrong, she'll be here to correct me. Amen. A good looking bunch of people. Good worship today? Great worship today? That was our good friend Josh, and we just want to thank him and Shane for coming and worshiping with us today. Thank you. Coming into our house and leading us in worship. My wife did a good job this morning, yes? All right, I'll go first. You all can be seated. Thank you. You know, today's message, Pastor Dale asked us to share with you guys, and we're very excited about it. But what we've been more excited about is the word that we've been hearing from Pastor Dale about grace and about our God and what he's done for us. Yeah. And the hardest thing about that was, is we had to look at ourselves and say, what are our belief systems? What are our belief systems about marriage? What are our belief systems about relationships and the church? What's our belief system about the world? What's our belief system about kids? What's our belief system about God? And we had to start digging into it. And every day we would come home, we'd start talking. We'd say, well, I talked to this person. I talked to that person. This is what they said. And then we'd have to challenge ourselves and say, what do we believe anymore now with this new grace message? And it's been very exciting, and we've seen great, great benefits out of it. My wife, I can say this, my wife and I's relationship is the best it's ever been. Amen? That's a good place to say amen. Have you ever had a bad time with your wife? Have you ever had a bad time with your husband? Well, wouldn't it be good to say, man, this is the best time I've ever had with my husband. This is the best time I've ever had with my wife. That's what this grace message is doing for us. It's doing it for our kids. It's doing it with our jobs. It's doing us with God, our calling. We are excited about this time.
This is good.
Go ahead.
There was a letter that my friend sent me. It was a letter from God, and this part of it, this is what Ben's saying that I love so much. Beloved, if grace has not yet become glorious to you, it is a sign that you have something immense and precious to discover in our relationship together. Amen? When, you know, I just love that so much because that's how I felt. You know, Pastor Dale has really been talking about grace versus law for about 3 years. But in the past 6 months, it has really just been hitting home with us and with me personally. But that's exactly how I feel. It's like I've come into this place with him that is so precious. It is so, there's so much to be discovered in this now with him, right? Do you guys know what I'm saying? How many of you, I really want you to show your hands. How many of you, since Pastor Dale's been talking about this, this taking out the mixture of law and grace and just coming into grace. How many of you has it actually changed some area of your life? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's exactly how we feel. And that's just what we want to do here today is just give that testimony to you, and just about how it's changed us. A long time ago when I fell in love with Jesus, which I was just a little kid, and I mean, I just felt just so in love with him. All it took for me was just him telling me, I'll be with you always, never leave you. And I was like, I'm with you then. And I just fell in love with him. So I feel like love drew me to God. You know what I'm saying? Love drew me to him. But now grace is propelling me forward If that makes any sense to you. You guys know what I'm saying? It's like now grace is putting the power behind it. Like love drew me to him, but grace is propelling me forward from him. Not away from him, but like out of him. Like now I'm like, let's do some stuff, okay? I mean, this is radically transforming every area of my life. Every area of our life. I mean, Ben's not joking. Our marriage, I mean, the way we talk to one another, the way we think about things. I mean, grace is just in the forefront of our mind, you know, we try. We're obviously not perfect, but we're making the change to make grace be at the forefront of our mind before we, on different situations. Did you want to talk about that?
About us? You want us to talk about us?
No. I mean,
just the two of us.
You guys knew this was going to be entertaining, right?
what we've come to see is we go to other churches, we talk to different people, and we start to see law. I mean, and it is strong. And here's my thing is, if the law was so good, then why did Jesus come to fulfill the law? Right. If the law was doing what it's supposed to do, then why would Jesus fulfill it and take it off of us? Why would he abolish it? Why would he remove it? Think about this. Let me get to Joel. You Logan, Paul, you can be another person. So let me get you two to stand up here. And so now, remember there was a time on earth. You face the crowd. They're a beautiful crowd. All right, so there was a time on earth, right? And what happened? Who brought the law to the earth? God brought the law, gave it to Moses. It landed on humanity, right? But before Moses, Abraham, there was no law. Think about this. Wives, you'll love this. Abraham broke covenant with his wife, right? Let me ask you, who got sick in the story? Did Abraham get sick or did the king get sick? Who? Hold on. If you sin or if you break covenant, you'll get sick. Well, no. Abraham broke covenant. The king got sick.
That's right.
So now we're at Moses. The law comes to humanity. The law comes on top of humanity. How many people die? 3,000 die. Then Jesus says, I'm going to be the fulfillment of the law, right? And so the law moves from humanity. Watch. Goes on to Jesus. The fulfillment of the law. Now, think about this one, Jesus. What was the great commandment? Did he say, I've dealt with all sin. I've dealt with all sickness. And now I give you keys. Did he give them law? He gave them keys. No longer does humanity have law on them. Jesus took the law on him. We are free, free indeed. Amen? It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be in him. Now, we don't become free based off acting free from sin. We become free by believing. Remember the story? Thanks, guys. Remember the story? Nicodemus, he comes to him at night and he starts challenging Jesus. He says, what must I do? And Jesus says, be born again. He says, well, how can I do that? He said, believe. He didn't say be born again by stop doing these sinful acts and things. See, Jesus, there's not one person who's going to not enter heaven because of sin. There's not one sin that will keep anybody out of heaven. Jesus wiped all sin away. All of the world. It's only because we did not believe that Jesus did that. That's the only stipulation. Is that not freeing to know? So if the law was so great, then why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep giving it to the world? Why do we keep putting it on lesbians in the world? Why do we keep putting it on people who are drunk or doing drugs or these things? Why do we keep putting it on our wives? Why do we keep putting the law on our kids?
law puts the focus on us. Grace puts the focus on back on him. You know what I'm saying? It's like when we got born again, you know, this is how it's pretty much been taught to you. I mean, Jesus came and he died on the cross for you, and all your sins have been removed and cleaned. You're fresh, forgiven. Here's how people take, which is true, absolutely. The problem with that is they don't understand that that's true forever now. They think, well, now that I'm born again, I am fresh, clean right now. I have a clean slate right now. Well, what happens a month from then? There's stuff that they don't even know that is sin that they're doing. P.S., there's stuff that all of us are doing that we don't know is sin. Can I get away? Okay? That's what makes it ridiculous, because in the Old Covenant, if you break one law, you break them all. If you do one thing wrong, you're done for, okay? But there are actually people who think they're doing a good enough job to be righteous on their own, okay? Have you guys talked to those people? Because I have. And they're like, well, I don't sin every day. Yes, you do.
Everyone
yes, you do.
Sins.
But out of your flesh, right? Because we know our spirit is untouchable. Our spirit is perfected. Your spirit is molecule for molecule, just like Jesus Christ, which Ben's going to talk about that later. But that's just what I love. You can tell. Here's what I like. It's kind of like a game we've been playing. We see situations or whatever, TV shows, sermons, people we talk to, we just play this little game. We're like, grace, law, grace, law. It's hard for me to shut it off when I'm around other people. I'm like, shut it off, because don't say it out loud. But I was a huge law person. And so we think in every relationship there's usually a more grace person, there's usually a more law person. I am the law person, and he is the grace person.
She's law.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better, but how many know this has been like what? For some of you, 30, 40 years of teaching that you're having to undo, right? You know, for me it's a little less, but still, it's been a long time. It's been a lot of teaching of that law mixture with grace. But one way you can know is law puts the focus on you, grace puts the focus on him. Okay? Law says this is who you need to be. This is how you need to act. Be better. Do better. That's what law does. Anytime you're wondering, is this a law situation or a grace situation? Law is saying, you're not enough. You need to work harder. You need to do more. You need to be better. You need to act better. You need to follow the rules of the scripture. Do you even know the Ten Commandments? Can you even list them? You need to be able to list them, and you need to be able to follow them. First of all, that's only 10. Do you guys know there's like 600 laws? I mean, why is everybody narrowing it down to 10 if you're going to do 10? I mean, do the whole 600, right? So that's one way you know. Law is always going to focus on what you need to do. Grace is always going to say, this is who you are.
Amen.
This is who you already are. You already are enough. You already are healed. Grace, every single time, it points back and it says it was already done. It was already finished. Jesus already did it on the cross. You don't have to do any more. You don't have to try harder. You don't have to be more. Just live. Live out of that spirit. You don't have. I love when Pastor Dale says stuff like, when you get up and pray at 4 in the morning, do you know that God hears you exactly the same at 4 in the afternoon? I mean, for real, guys, is that real life? I mean, I love stuff like that, because that's freedom. Grace is freedom. Now, it's not freedom to go now do whatever the heck I want to do. Like, it's not saying, and that's every time I talk to somebody about this, that's exactly where they go. They're like, so what are you trying to say? You can just, like, live however you want, and it's just, like, total freedom. I told Pastor Dale that. We were in his office, and I said, you know, everybody thinks, every time you talk about grace, that's where everybody goes. And Pastor Dale goes, now you know you're in the Bible, because they said the exact same thing to Paul. They said, what did they say to Paul? They said, so now I can just sin freely, and surely grace will abound? They were mocking him. Now, I've heard people use that scripture talking about that's what Paul was saying. No, Paul was saying that the teachers and the leaders of the day were mocking him. They were saying, so you're just saying we can do whatever we want, because that's where everybody takes it. this is what grace has done for me. I want to run to my Father. When I hear about this and how free I am, and that it doesn't matter what I've done or what I will do. You know, I was talking to my little girl about this, and she said, well, Mom, what about my, so I understand that my sins have been forgiven, but what about stuff I haven't even done yet? She goes, I'm not even an adult yet. She's 7 years old. She's like, what about the rest of my life? And I was like, glory to God. Yes, you are absolutely free. You've been forgiven no matter what you do. No matter what you do, you've already been forgiven. That's what we got to understand, guys. It was past, present, and future sins. It was all taken care of at one time. Grace takes the pressure off, okay? So what do you guys think about certain situations in your life that you do when the pressure is completely off? How do you act? What are you like when there's no pressure to perform? When there's no pressure to be anything more? When that you just rest and that you're already enough? What kinds of things do you say? How do you act? How do you treat people? It's Pastor Martin just went, it's like, that's how it is. That's what grace does. How could anyone possibly think that I would take, you know, we would take that and go in the wrong direction? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take that and I'm going to run so close to God. I'm going to run so close to God. I'm going to go so hard after him. I'm going to go so hard into this word. I'm reading this word and it's just like blinders have been taken off. It's like everything that it, man, it's so good. It's so good for that pressure to be released. Like, that's what I'm saying. Every time Pastor Dale says another thing like that, like, your prayers are the same all times of the day, you know? Like, it doesn't matter what you've done or things that you don't understand. Every time he says something that like that, it's like a little bit more weight came off. Me and Ash Pop were talking about that. Like, a little bit more weight came off of our shoulders. It's like little by little, we're peeling away the law that has been taught to us for so long. That mixture. But it's not going to happen all at one time, obviously, right? But little by little, every time we get in this word and we're seeing this now with new eyes, that law just comes off a little bit more. And the results of that is the way we treat people is so much different. The way we treat each other, the way I talk to my children, the way I am in relationships. Man, guys, is anybody else struggling here with being judgmental a little bit? It's a little, okay, no one's raising their hand. Well,
okay, just me then.
Just me then, okay. But I'm just seeing people in such a different way now. I look at people and think, God, how could I have even been so judgmental, self-righteous? You're looking at people thinking that they're not as good for you. Here's a big one. We think that there's people that are doing so much wrong. I'm talking about born again people. That is important. I'm talking about born again people we think are living, like, people say all this stuff like, well, they're partying or sleeping around or whatever. And they're like, they can't hear God the same way I can. Because I've been praying and I've been like worshiping all the time. I mean, they can't hear God the same way I can. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They are just as close to God as you are. You are born again believers. Your spirit is untouchable. It's untouchable. God, that's the only way God deals with us, is in our spirit. Did you guys get that? It's in your spirit. So if your flesh is the only thing that sins, P.S., your flesh cannot get born again. So you can try your hardest to live perfectly out of your flesh, and you're never going to succeed. But no matter what someone's doing out of their flesh, you cannot tell them that God is dealing with them differently, because he's dealing with their spirit, which is molecule for molecule the same as Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, okay? You guys got that? We are inside of Christ. Hallelujah. Sorry for taking up so much time.
You want to go sit down now? Listen, one night I was with Cleveland. He was at the House of Grace, and he opened up, and he was going through these things, and he started saying, he says, you know, everybody is born a sinner. And the aha moment came to me that was so relieving, because it's like, man, I was born a sinner. You know, Romans says what the flesh could not do to uphold the law. It's relieving to know I was born a sinner and my flesh can't uphold the law. That means I'm going to sin until the day I die.
Don't like that. Okay. Let's go to a story. I can prove it. I can prove that religious people will sin to the day they die. Woman caught in the very act of adultery. The religious people throw her at the feet of Jesus and say, the law says we're going to stone her. He says, you who have no sin, you throw it. How many people threw stones? So hold on. All the church, all the religious people have sin in their life? Well, okay, we're at church. What if I put my finger in your face and say, do you have sin in your life? Let me, I don't want to embarrass you, so I'll embarrass myself. I found myself dealing with that I have sin in my life. But I did the Christian thing. You know what I would do when I get depressed about money? I'd go eat. It's safe to eat when you're a Christian. But it was just like a drug. Get angry. Throw the law. Be mean. What sin do you do and will do until you die? If you can face this, then you can be relieved and say, oh, that's the grace of the Lord that I need. You can be released. You know why it's so important for you to be released? Because we're hurting other people. Hurt makes people sin. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he comes to me and he says, man, I know you got off drugs. He says, how'd you do it? And I'm thinking, man, there's not a 1, 2, 3. I said, I don't know. And so I'm talking to him, and I said, I bet I know exactly where you're at. I said, I bet you mutter over how bad of a person you are. You don't provide for your family. You don't provide for your son. You wish you could do more. You don't have a good job. Your parents think you should buy your own house. Your car's broke down. I said, every time you get in that mood, you just throw up your hands and you go run to drugs. He said, you're exactly right. So now, see, here's the deal. If I could remove the pressure of him feeling bad by saying, the law says you need to provide for your family. You need to be a good person. You need to have a house. You need to do this. And I blow up the law. But if I can remove that law from him, he's a free guy.
That's right.
And he's not going to run to the drugs because he's a free man. Our job as Christians, we're free. He says, for freely you've been given.
Yeah.
Freely give.
Yeah, that's right.
Not law. Grace. Let me tell you something about me and my wife. So we get married, and I'm a good boyfriend. Boy, I am awesome. I buy her a car. I buy her all kinds of jewelry. I take her out. I throw rose petals around. I was happening. I got a little ooh-hoo. But man, when we got married, it was nothing like my vows. My vows were, I love you. You won't have to do nothing, and I'll be rubbing your feet because you're so great. Oh, unconditional love I give you. I was saying all these things. I was lying. Lied my butt off. Because she got home, and she got a whole list of rules.
Pressure.
That's true. I heard a guy the other day, he was talking to his wife, and he said this. He said, girlfriend, wife, soon to be. He said, as the man of the house, it's on me to be the leader, and you're to submit. Now, hold on, because we all laughing. So I know what's happening here, because the woman said, oh, Lord. And the man said, don't point at me, Ben. Don't point at me. But how many men, let's be bold and vulnerable here, how many men have been stupid enough to say something like that to their wife? Okay, thank you, DJ. Thank you, brave brother in the back.
That's a real friend back there.
That's a friend. I put law on my wife. Have the house clean, do this with the kids, act like this, dress like that, do these things. And then when I, listen, oh, this is how foolish I am. Things would be going hard at work, wouldn't have as much money. I'd say things like, you need to get a job, girl. More law. See, in me, I'm failing, and I put more law on my wife. I'll let you take it from here. It was hard. I'll say it. Let me be vulnerable. We had to go to counseling.
Well, I think one thing about it was, it's like there's so many preconceived ideas or what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I guess when you just go into marriage thinking there it should be a certain way. Yeah. Pastor Martin said fantasy. That's fantasy. But that just causes a lot of pressure when you're trying to require them to be something, you know, to be something to fit your mold. That's law. That's law. Because like I was telling you before, grace says you're already enough. You're free to be you. You're free to be who you are. Helps me to really drive this home. That the example of marriage. I have a few lawyers in my family, my brothers and sisters. And I was talking to my sister that's a lawyer, and you know, she was just talking about law to me. Now, here's what's funny: she is a lawyer, and a very good one, a partner in a firm, and has been for a long time. But she is the most grace-filled person you will ever know. And I tell her, I'm like, I think it's because you're a lawyer. I think it's because you know the law so well that you immediately are like, no, grace. Let's give grace, you know. And I was just talking to her, you know, and for me it would be like, imagine if somebody sat down with a husband and wife, maybe even just the husband, like as Ben was saying, and said, here's a list of rules, okay. Now, what are some things that right off the top of your head that you can think of for marriage? Well, for me, it's like, well, like, don't cheat, right? Like, be loyal and faithful. And, like, don't beat each other, you know? I mean, it's like, just handle your fights a different way. Like, put your hands down and, you know. these are like, and that's what my sister said. She there's a word she called it. It's like, dang it, I forget it. It starts with a D.
Dang it.
Basically, the law default, that's it. The law is default. The law, like I'm talking about natural law, like the United States of America law, okay? It's default. Most of the time, she said, the law is just saying the bare minimum. So if like if you had a contract with a business partner, you know, you'd go through and you talk about your terms and how long. I mean, it's just going to say the bare minimum. It's not going to say everything that you guys should be to each other in a relationship or in a contract or whatever. But I mean, just imagine if a husband or wife sat down together and somebody was like, so don't beat each other, don't cheat on each other, you know, like, you know, get, you know, make sure somebody is providing food, shelter, things like that. Like, you would look at them and be like, this is ridiculous. Like, what? Like, you don't, it's like offensive. You see what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if your husband looked at you and was like, don't you dare. I mean, like, do this and this. That's offensive. I mean, I would look back at him and I would be like, I mean, I love you. I'm not gonna do that to you. These are not things that you have to tell me to do. My heart of love for you is the reason I'm not gonna do those things. You put the rules away, I will shred those rules to pieces. My heart for love that I have for you is the reason that I'm gonna treat you different. So then to add on to that, I'm going to do so much more than those rules could ever say. I am not, the rules are binding. They're restricting. Law is restricting. To just do something because you're told not to is not at all the same as doing something because you want to. You see the difference? The Bible says, Jesus says, you're going to keep my commandments because you love me, because we're in love together. He's not saying, keep my commandments and then I'll know you love me. It's two totally different ways of reading that, and a lot of people are getting that wrong. Jesus is saying, we're going to be so in love. You're going to do far more than these commandments. You're going to follow me out of your heart because we're in a love relationship. We're in something totally different. This is not a contract. It's called a contract of marriage. That's the legal term. But that's not what I'm in with him. I'm with him to the day that I die. I'm with him thick or thin, whatever happens, through my kids. He's a wonderful father. I'm gonna do things for him that no one would ever, ever even know to tell me to do for him. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna do things for God that the Bible did not tell me to do for him. I'm gonna follow him in ways that no one has ever told me to do because I have him living on the inside of me and I'm gonna live out of that spirit. This is who I am. This is who you are. This is who you are on your insides. Don't do anything. Don't try hard. Just live. Live out of that spirit. You're gonna want to pray for people that nobody came up and told you to pray for. Why? Because your spirit. I mean, some people can say, well, God spoke to me and did all these things like that. I think it's just your spirit inside you that you're living out of. Hello? You guys see what I'm saying? You're going to do things out of your spirit. You're going to respond out of your spirit in a total different way than you're going to respond out of your flesh, okay? Now, does anyone need help knowing what it looks like when you respond out of your flesh as opposed to what it looks like when you respond out of your spirit?
Nobody wants to see you get in the flesh, baby. Nobody wants to see you get in the flesh. Now, see, this woman right here is talking from a position of grace. Trust me. She's talked from the position of law before, and it does not sound good to my ears. It does not. I'll tell you this, and it was a wake-up call. Men, my wife told me, you're not going to talk to me like this. You're not going to treat me like this. See, you might get away with a little law, but it ain't going to last long. Women, and it should not last long. God did not ask you to be a beaten stick, punishing. God's not saying stay this in for the rest of your life so that you'll prove to me that you love me by staying with somebody who does not love you. You can't be their savior, Jesus is. I look totally different at things. The Lord told me one time, Pastor Dale's talked about this. He says, I used to think the Lord said, love me with all your heart, love me with all your mind, love me with all your soul, love me, love me, love me, love me. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I said, man, that's a lot. Well, of course it is, because Jesus was saying it from a position of law. And the Lord says this. He says, turn it around and read it as if I were saying it to you. Sounds like this. I, the Lord God, love you, Ben, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my ideas, with all of my position, with all of my glory, with all of my resources. I love you, Ben. And I love you like I love myself.
Amen. Hallelujah. So good.
Because I used to think, God, you love me only if I do right, because you're going to judge me for what I do here on earth to determine if I can go to heaven. And the Lord says, no. I'm going to prove to you I love you so that you will receive me and come to heaven. This is a testing ground for the Lord to prove how much he loves you. The Lord loves you. Husbands, let's love our wives with grace. Let's love our children with grace. Love yourself with grace. Give yourself some grace. You know, my son, Sammy's 9 years old. Before he was born, I knew there was sin in this world. Before he said dada, I knew that there's drugs and he's going to get in fights, he's going to be hurt, there's going to be problems, he's going to be upset, he's not going to understand things. I knew all of that before he did. But I still brought him to this world. Now think about me as a dad. I could say, I'm going to judge my boy, determine on how he handles all this crap out here. And if he does right, I'll love him. But if he does wrong, he has no place in me. What kind of dad would you say I am? But I have the power and strength to make the choice before he's done anything wrong and say, I'm going to give him grace. I'm going to give him grace in everything. We were talking, I know this is a small sin because we're in church, so it's probably, on your standards, maybe a low sin, low-level sin. But we were talking about cussing. He dropped the F-bomb. YouTube. We had a talk about this.
He didn't know what it meant.
Did not know what it meant. So we had a talk about it. And you know, the thing about, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I raise my son in grace? How do I raise my son lawless? I didn't understand. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I need to give him some law, some structure. Do this, do that. And the Lord goes, how do I treat you? How do I talk to you? How do I handle you? I said, well, I'll take that. Because when I do something wrong, the Lord's like, are you all right? What's going on? You're more than enough. He's always good. So I'm talking to my son about cussing. I trust him. So I go through all of the words. I tell him what they mean. I say how they will make him feel when he says it. I say how it will make him feel when he says it to somebody else. I said how it will make him feel when somebody says it at him. I opened up all the whole Pandora's box of cussing. And I said, you have a choice. You can cuss at church, but here's probably what will happen. You can cuss at your school, but here's probably what's going to happen. You can cuss at your mama, but here's probably what's going to happen. But I'm giving him the choice in grace to do that. We're sitting there, and it's just me and him. He's laying on my chest. Me and my son have a great relationship. He's on my chest, and mama says, ah, poop, beavy poop, doo, beavy poop. And my son is sitting here this close to my face, and he says, well, poop and mean the same thing. And I say, you're right, boy. My heart sunk because I didn't want him to make that choice. But in order for me to say I give you grace, I got to be able to receive. The Lord's heart sinks a little bit every time we sin. But it didn't change. My son stayed on my chest. I kissed him. I played with him for another hour. Why do we put so much law on our kids? Why do we put so much law on our spouses? You know, I'm going to say this. It's going to be bold. It's going to be out there. A lot of us have lost loved ones that we wish would come home. I'm going to tell you why they are gone. The law. And it's going to take a lot to bring them back to grace. We need to be vulnerable as Christian men and women and say, listen, what I thought was acceptable or true, what doctrine, what belief I had before about God and sin, forgive me, but I was wrong. Can you tell your kids? Can you tell your family? Maybe you missed it. And let God's grace take them. Let God's grace really love them. I don't know. The Lord says, how do I speak to you? You speak to them. Be kind. Be gentle. Be understanding. Be forgiven. Don't get your kid out of jail and say, you better get right. Well, grace, I got him out of jail. But you slammed him with law. A lot of husbands don't want to go to church. I never wanted to go to church. You know why I didn't want to go to church? Couldn't drink, couldn't fight, couldn't do what I want to do, couldn't cuss, couldn't. See, I was a grace person. A lot of your husbands, people, relationships don't understand. Why do I have to go to church? I got to tithe, I got to do this, I got to do that. They don't understand. Because it's law. We're giving people law. Did you know in 1960 in England, the guy who did the thing, it was called the Imagine Game or whatever, he was gay. Gay guy. He did the Nazi figuring out the code thing, the Enigma code. Watched the movie the other day. I didn't know the ending. I watched the ending. I was like, oh. They imprisoned him for being gay. The world has killed and punished gay people. But they changed. The world now accepts gay people and they say, we give you grace. We accept you for who you are. They're stealing our message. We have a better message. You are forgiven. We accept you the way you are. You're forgiven. Yes, you will go to heaven. Because no sin is keeping anyone from heaven or God.
That's right.
I'll tell you a story. Go ahead.
So, as you know, like we were saying about with our kids and the way it's changed the way we dealt with our kids, you know, as a mom, how many moms are in here? Can I have some? I love mothers. You know what I love about moms? I've been all the way around the world. I've been lots of places, not all the way, but I've been a lot of places around the world. No matter where I go, no matter where I am, I could be randomly standing in the elevator with a mom, and it's like, what's up? Yep, I feel your struggle. Like your kids pushed all the buttons on the way down. And you know what I'm saying? That mom is like, and you just look at each other and you're like, fist pump. I love you. It's like you're like complete stranger. You know what I'm saying about mom? That's just how moms are. Like wherever we are, we don't even speak the same language, but we just have that, yes, I feel you. So anyways, moms in the building. Do you guys feel like we have to put rules? We have to like be the rule people all the time? That's what's hard about this for moms. We have to be the rule people are. And rules are good, you know? I mean, the law is holy. The law is holy, okay? You got to teach boundaries and, you know, but receiving this message, that makes it hard. Because what law is rules, okay? But that's something we have to do. We have to teach. It's just all day long, all day long. Especially if you have a toddler. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this, okay? Don't stick that there. I mean, you could go on and on and on, okay? And that's tough. That's tough for a mom because, you know, we want to just love and, you know, and be. But once you get in that rhythm of don't, it's very difficult to stop because you're just thinking all the time, constant training. I have to constantly be like this. And that's good. We have to train. But I'm telling you, there's a different way of doing it, okay? Can you accept that? There's a different way. You don't have to do it the way that's always been done. You just have to pick your opportunities or your times. Well, one day Lucy, my five-year-old, you guys know Lucy, she's just a goofball, funny. We were just, after school one day, we were hanging out, and she was just like, oh, Mom, guess what? I got, you know how they have their clips, behavioral charts see, this is what I'm saying, that we get law all the time. They're judged at school based on how they behave that day. Like, did you behave good, bad, or ugly? I mean, that, like, their clip is moved to whatever they got on that day, you know? So they're getting law all day long at school as well, not just from you, okay? And we wonder why people need grace. So she just was like, Mom, I got on super today. Today I was on super. My clip was on super. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'm so proud of you. And I looked at her and I said, Lucy, I just want you to know you're super every day. Every single day you're super. And she goes, no, I'm not. Some days I only get on good. I mean, just like that. She said, no, I'm not. Some days I'm only good. She never really gets in trouble, so it's either good or super. But, you know, and I just looked at her and I said, no, to me, I understand at school it's different, but I said, to me, you're always super. I love you so much. There's nothing you could do. There's no way you could behave that's going to change the way I feel about you. It's not going to change how proud I am of you. I love you. I love who you are. I love everything about you. You know, when I go through and I talk about the gifts that's inside of them, I love that you do that. That's so special to me. You know, and that's just really, that's so powerful to tell a kid, no matter what you do, no matter your actions or your words, I know who you really are. And that's really the difference. You know, it's telling them, that's what God does to us. He's like, I know you're doing stuff in your flesh, but I know who you really are. I knew who your spirit is. I know the gifts and callings I put inside you. He only treats us who we really are. Amen. That's what Ben is saying. That's how God deals with us. And that's how we're trying to change dealing with our children. It only matters that we treat them how they really are, okay? You know, one example for me that really, really, my dad was a grace. Oh, man, he was a grace dad. So I'm so thankful. You guys, you see what I'm saying? I can look back over my life now that I've been hearing this stuff, and I'm like, okay, that was grace, and there was law. You know, and that person put law on me, and that person put grace on me. My dad was a grace person. I'm going to tell you, people didn't like him for it. I remember people saying stuff like he wasn't a good enough parent, or he didn't, like, have enough rules or something. I mean, I remember people saying stuff like that, you know, and my dad would probably respond to that. Well, I mean, I won't say what he would respond, but he was just a really good dad. And one of the things that he would say, even way before I was of the age of driving, he would say, Frieden was my last name. He would say, Friedens are great drivers. I would drive a four-wheeler and stuff when I was a kid, and he'd be like, oh, you're a great driver. And you know, I'd ask questions like this, you know, and he would teach me stuff. And I mean, it's not without teaching, understand, okay? He was teaching and putting that, pouring that. It's an understanding thing. That's another thing Ben was saying. It's teaching them an understanding. He gave Sam an understanding of cuss words, okay? He said, this is what they are. This is the results you'll get from them. This is how it makes people feel. He gave, and that's what God does with us. He helps with understanding. Ben could have just been like, you say one of those words again, and you're going to get the spanking of your lifetime, okay? You just do not, okay? That's rules and law, you know? And that's how a lot of people parent. They say, the first thing they pull out, like Pastor Dell says, is spanking. You're going to get tore up right now for behaving like that. That's the first thing they do. When sometimes it requires an understanding, a level of understanding that the kid does not have. Obviously, age appropriate, okay? It needs to be age appropriate. But there needs to be that. That's part of grace. It's not saying do nothing. Don't be a parent, obviously. That's ridiculous. It's saying the kids need a different way sometimes. And I'm going to tell you this. Like Ben's mom is sitting right here, some kids need a lot more grace. Can I get a witness, okay? Some kids need a lot more grace. You can probably right now think in your mind, think about all your kids and think, that one's grace. And now that one's law. Sam is law. Sam says, I want you to list me all the rules so that I know what to follow.
And then he will make the other kids follow him too.
And I will make the other children follow them too. He is straight law. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay that he likes the rules. I will give him rules. I'm glad to give him rules, okay? But I'm not gonna put law on him. I'm just saying, you know, he knows there's grace there, but it's okay for some kids. And now you got some kids, you know, that need grace. And they need a lot of it. And what tends to happen is parents put more law on the ones that needed more grace. Do you know what I'm saying? You guys, you're thinking of somebody right now, aren't you? You're thinking in your mind, there's a kid that needed more grace, and they got more law. And you see the direction they went with that. Anyways, back to my dad's story. He would just tell me that all the time. He would just say, this is who you are. You're free and you're a great driver. It's just who you are. So when I was 16, it was time to get my license, or I don't know if it was 17 or something, and because I was a little late. And, you know, I was just driving, and I was like, well, I'm a fantastic driver. Like, I didn't even know. It's kind of like brainwashing. Like, I was like, I'm a great driver. Like, that's all he had ever told me. He said, and people would be like, well, what are you talking about? Why are you great? Because I'm a Freedon. Like, Freedons are great drivers. Haven't you heard? Didn't anyone tell you guys Freedons are great drivers?
Then like, she got pulled over.
And then I go,
she's like, oh, yes, sir.
I'm a great driver. I don't know why you're pulling me over, because I'm a great driver. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. It was like nothing else could even possibly be true except for that in my mind. So what am I going to tell my kids? I'm going to teach them the Word of God. I'm going to teach them things. Sin is dangerous, and it has actual natural consequences in the earth. God's not going to punish you for your sin, but the world will. You better believe they will. So there's going to be natural consequences. It's important that, you know, they understand this part of sin, but they're definitely going to know that who they are instead. You know what I'm saying? They're definitely going to know more than sin. What I'm going to teach them is who they are. More than who they aren't, I'm going to teach them who they are. More than what they can't do, I'm going to teach them what they can do. Amen. What it's going to, you guys, there's so, this, I want to read this. This is in, we're actually going to read the Bible. This is Philippians. This is the Passion Translation. This is, you know, Paul obviously is the greatest grace teacher. And he says this in Philippians 3, okay? This is the Passion Translation. I don't mind repeating what I've already written you because it protects you. Beware the religious hypocrites who teach that you should be circumcised to please God. So what did he just say? Beware of the people that are going to put law on you. That's what being circumcised is. He's referencing law. It was the law. He was saying it was, but now not when he's teaching now, it's not anymore. He's saying, beware of people that are going to do that to you. For we've already experienced heart circumcision, and we serve God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. This is right here in the Bible. Why is this so hard for people? It's so obvious. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. How many times do you think Paul says that? Not in our own strength, not in our own strength. He's saying it's not based on how good you can do or what you can do. Once I relied on all that I was and everything that I did, and I love this. The whole next chapter of that is Paul giving his accomplishments. right after he says, it's not in my own strength or one, and I used to rely on all that I've become. I had a reason to boast and impress people. That's what Paul is saying. Out of all of you guys, I have a great, I could brag all day. I have a pedigree, it was impeccable. I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel. I mean, I was the stuff, okay? I was circumcised right after, 8 days after my birth, Orthodox Judaism. I lived that junk so much so that I was just started beating people up if they didn't do it right. That's what Paul did, you know? He knew the law so well that he started beating people when they stepped out. Probably into grace. He's probably beating grace people. So then he goes into all that. And then right after that, the famous thing that you guys have heard, to truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting and all that I thought that I should be that made me better into on a garbage heap. Hallelujah. All that we could ever do or accomplish could be thrown on a garbage heap compared to what he has done. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. Now, the next part is something that we've probably heard a lot, and it says this: I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. And, you know, I've just always heard that as like running the race. You know, I've always heard that as I need to work harder. I need to be better. I need to do more for the Lord. And that's not at all what Paul is saying right here. That's not at all what he's saying. Let me read it again. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. You guys, there's so much to discover. Amen. Living out of our spirit. You know, and it is important to understand your spirit and your flesh, the difference. There's so much to discover of us walking in the spirit now, okay? Stop trying so hard and just live out of your spirit. You know, that's what I love. That's the most freeing thing. And I just can't wait to even talk to people about this the more and more. Because I just want people to know, you're enough. You are enough. You are Jesus Christ inside you. That is who you are. That is your real identity. And all the gifts and callings that God's put in you. Live out of that. Let's live the full. You know, as I was saying about the marriage relationship, there's so much more that's going to come from a love and passionate relationship than there ever could be if somebody sat down and said, live off these rules, obey these rules. Obey these rules or live out of this love and passion. Man, you're going to get so much more. You're going to get creative and come up with ideas and you're going to find new ways to love one another. You're going to find new ways to honor one another. So live out of that. Live out of that love, that new relationship. And don't ever go back to the law. Don't put law on yourself. Don't put rules on yourself. And don't put law on other people. Let's go out and affect the world with this. Hallelujah. Let's go out and show the world grace with this. Amen? Amen.
Good day. 12:15.
Ben's going to pray it up and then we'll dismiss.
Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us of your wonderful love. Thank you for giving us such grace. It makes us feel so good, this grace and love that you give us. We want to make other people feel so good and give them that grace and love also. This Christmas season and forever until you come back, we're looking for opportunities to share grace and love. We're going to be vulnerable. We're going to be open and transparent. We're going to forgive others, ourselves, because you've forgiven all of us. Oh, thank you for your love. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.